Welcome back. You're listening to the program is called Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. We're going through the Bible and we've landed in Leviticus chapter 20 about verse 4. And if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. So, here we have it. Those that commit abortion, those that abort their children, were to be cut off out of the land of Israel. They were to be put to death. This is an abomination to our Heavenly Father. This has not changed. It's still an abomination. But he certainly did not want it in his kingdom, in the land of the nation that was called after him. They were called Yahudim. They were named after him. They were the people called by his name. They were Israel. But the rest of the world called them the Yahudim. And they were not allowed to do this. And if anyone, he says, and he warns them twice, he says, first he says, whoever does it shall be put to death. The people of the land will stone him with stones. And then he says, if you do not kill him, if you do not kill people who bring in abortion, who practice giving their seed to Molech, that is sacrificing their children in any manner, then I will set my face against the man, his family, and will cut him off. And all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits. So it's pretty dire. Our Heavenly Father is not happy with abortion, sacrificing children, infanticide in any way that would be practiced. Because he says children are a blessing. And people who want to kill their children before they're born are saying that he's a liar, that children aren't a blessing. They may be a blessing to the Heavenly Father, but they're not a blessing to me. And what are you saying? You're saying, I don't like God. I don't want to be like him. The things that are important to him aren't important to me. I don't believe that he'll provide for me, so I have to provide for myself. If I have this child now, how will I provide for it? I don't trust the Heavenly Father to keep his word. Of course, you could say, okay, you know, I'm going to leave it up to you. You are the God of the universe. You are the God of reproduction in my life. You are the God of when and when we will not have a child. And you're responsible for this child also, because your word says you will be. That if I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, then you're going to provide everything I need. And I believe that. That's what living by faith is. That's what faith really is. When we believe his word and we live in obedience to that belief. That's true faith. Faith is not some ethereal, you know, quality of some untouchable thing out there that we feel. No, faith is a real... faith is action. Faith says, I believe in what the Heavenly Father says, so I obey that belief. I live like his word is true, that I trust his word. Because he said it, I'm going to do it, because I believe that's the best thing for me. That's real faith. A lot of people, like, they think love, faith, and hate are some unknown quantity, that they're just a feeling. And it's like honor, too. They think that honor, they've taken all these things and relegated them to feelings and unknowable qualities of things they can't understand. You know, they want to fall in love rather than rise in love. Because if you fall in love, you're just talking about feelings. You're talking about infatuation. You're talking about the emotion, the feeling, when you're falling in love. But if you rise in love, well, you're going to love your neighbor. You're going to love your wife and your children and your family when they're unlovable. That's rising in love. And that makes it, when they're lovable, that makes it much better too, if you can love them when they're unlovable. That's why there's so much divorce and disintegration in the family, is because people don't rise in love. They fell in love, and when the feelings are gone, well, you've heard the, they have all the romantic songs. Romance is idolatry. I've said it 1,000 times, and there it is again. You have to rise in love. In romance, you fall in love. In agape, you rise in love. There's the vast difference between the two. Romance is idolatry. Agape is commanded by our Heavenly Father. It requires us to give. It requires us to love when it is difficult. And if the people of the land do in any ways hide their eyes from the man, okay, they give his seed to Moloch, I will kill him not, then I will set my face against that man, against his family, and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards, and go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and will cut him off from his people. Sanctify yourselves therefore. See, set yourselves apart. That's what sanctify means. Set yourselves apart. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart from these things as I am commanding you. That's what he's saying. Therefore, and be ye holy, for I, Yahuwah, am your God. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am Yahuwah, which sanctifies you. For everyone that causes his father or his mother, or that curses his father or mother. So, you know, the opposite of disobedience. For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He had cursed his father and his mother. His blood shall be upon him. Now, I was listening to a debate, don't know exactly when, a short time back, and this unbeliever brought up this verse. Do you think that everyone that swears at his father and mother should surely be put to death? Because that's what the law requires. Well, there were no police going around and waiting for someone to curse. Everything was done voluntarily. Even the neighbors who, if someone offered their children to Moloch, they were to come and stone them and utterly put them to death. I mean, they were murderers. I mean, capital punishment is capital punishment. So capital punishment for abortion should not surprise us. And we can draw on another example, the example of the prodigal son. There was a prodigal son who, well, it doesn't say that he cursed his father or his mother, but he definitely disobeyed his father. He did not do what his father wanted him to do, but he took and he squandered his inheritance. So in a way, he didn't honor his father and his mother, but he was not put to death. His father was happy when he repented of his ways and he came back into the household. Oh, so if there is someone out here that is treating their parents bad, cursing them continually, beating them, taking advantage of them, you know, pretty much committing what is called elder abuse. I guess they would call that elder abuse today. And, you know, you can see if it's a problem today, it was a problem then. And I believe in cases like that, that yes, this is what the law is drawing on here, cases like that. It wasn't like if a man was mostly good and honoring his parents and he obeyed them most of the time, where he rose up and perhaps had a disagreement and he swore, you know, in some kind of disagreement with his parents and cursed them, that they would call for the police to put him to death or stone him. So you can see that the law is given as a guide to live by. It's giving as a warning of, these are the things that I do not want in the land. These are the things that displease me. This is what this is worthy of, that a man who hates his father and his mother in his heart is a murderer, basically. I mean, that's really, if we spend the time to really look at it and take the whole scripture into consideration and everything else in the scripture that we can bring in here and take it into consideration, we get the reality of the commandment. So this is important to our Heavenly Father. It is so important to him that we honor and obey our parents. whether we're young children or whether we're grown. If our grown parents command us to do something, and it doesn't go against the law of our Heavenly Father, then we should do it. Because why should we do it? Because it's an act of obedience to our Heavenly Father. And even if we don't think it's a wise decision, guess what? If we do it by faith, because our Heavenly Father says that we should honor and obey them, then He will bless us. Then He becomes responsible for the situation that the obedience requires. Can we trust Him? Do we trust Him? Do we love Him? Do we think He loves us? Then why would we not want to obey? Why would we rather judge and not be obedient? Now, of course, if your parents are asking you to do something ungodly or that goes against His law, then you have to make that judgment too. And a lot of people, and they may be asking you to do something that they don't judge against His law because they don't understand His law, but I understand His law differently because I understand many things that are easily accepted by even those that think they're godly or call themselves Christians that have been in corporate churched all their lives. That I understand that those things, some of those things are against God's law. Some of the very things that I've heard preachers uphold in the pulpit as being godly things that break His law. Imagine that. Stick around long enough and you'll hear all the specifics, but right now we're going to stay here in Leviticus. Okay, everyone that curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, okay, and see, they have words added here, the another with a man's wife, so it's defining adultery. Adultery is when you lie with another man's wife. Adultery is always defined by the wife of another man with a woman who is married to another man. If there's no married woman in a situation, then it's not adultery. That's the law. Okay? That's what it says here. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. They were both to be put to death. And that reminds me of the situation where they tempted the Messiah, Yahushua, and they brought the woman and said she was caught in the very act of adultery. And they brought her to Him to tempt Him in judgment. What was wrong with the picture? They brought the woman, if she was caught in the very act of adultery, that means that they caught a man too. But where was the man? Who was the man? Perhaps it was one of them that tricked a married woman so that they could bring her. Who knows? We're not given those details, but the details were given is they brought the woman that they didn't bring the man. They said they caught her in the very act. Well, okay, so Yahushua, they made Him a judge there, and they set up a court around Him right there and said, you're the judge, this is the court, we're the witnesses, we caught her in the very act of adultery. Well, their case is insufficient because they don't have the man. They have an insufficient case for adultery. That's the true, that would be the true nature of the situation in that case, is that they had insufficient evidence. How does a married woman commit adultery by herself? It can't be done. They said they caught her in the very act, but they didn't bring the man. So how could he condemn one if half of the evidence and half of the other party isn't there? So he made a righteous judgment. Well, he didn't even make a judgment. He says, let whoever's without sin among you, let them cast the first stone. So I said, yeah, adultery is capital punishment. Go ahead, stone her. But let him who is without sin amongst you, let them cast the first stone. Well, of course, they all walked away. And he told the woman, he said, you go your way. All your accusers are gone. Go your way and sin no more. You know, enter the kingdom. Put His kingdom first and His righteousness. It's always His righteousness. He didn't say go your way and continue in whoredom, or go your way in adultery is okay so that you know, now today that adultery is not against the law. No, it's still a capital punish, is capital crime today, according to his law, it is. And if you don't pay the price in this lifetime, I'm certain that if you don't repent and lay your guilt upon the Lamb of God, that you will suffer, because you surely will die, and you will die in your sin if you don't repent. So it's all sin is a capital crime, but these sins that he is calling here in the law capital crimes, where people were to be put to death immediately, that their blood was required then, and there by their brethren were supposed to enforce the law of God immediately, and their mortality was required under that circumstance. Though we see that that didn't happen most of the time. Okay, let's see. The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Chapter 20, verse 11, and the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And of course, this is if the woman was willing. Of course, if a boy rapes a woman, or rapes another man's wife, and we see that there is judgment is required in the law. So that this is not the case. These are not the cases of rape where someone is forced. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with womankind, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So they were required to kill adulterers and homosexuals. Those were capital crimes. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire. If he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. Oh, okay. Both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. And if a woman approacheth unto any beast to lie down thereunto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, and that is different than his mother's daughter by a different father. They're making a distinction here. So if a man take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness. So if it was his father's wife's daughter, but not his mother or father, then you get the idea. You can't take a sibling as a spouse from your own father and mother, or either of them. So if a man shall take a sister's father's daughter or his mother's daughter and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. They shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. And if a man lie with a woman, having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he has discovered her fountain. And of course, we're talking about the period. And of course, the fountain is the blood when she's purging the egg in her, period. And he has uncovered the fountain of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from among their people. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he uncovereth her, his near kin. So actually, we're repeating the incest statutes here again. Many of these statutes are being repeated again here in Leviticus. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. And of course, he's talking about his brother's wife in his brother's lifetime. Because if a man died, his brother was required to take his wife by the law and take her in to be his wife and raise up seed to his brother. That was the commandment. You shall therefore keep all my statutes, all my judgments, and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And you shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am Yahuwah your God, which have separated you from other people. You shall therefore put a difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between the clean fowls and the clean. You shall not make your souls abominable by beasts or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy unto me, for I, Yahuwah, am holy, and I have severed you from the people, that you should be mine. A manner also that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. And the word wizard there is like a male witch. That's what I would gather from it. A conjurer of spirits, a knowing one. Okay, they shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. And of course, this is referring back to pagan practices. But for his kin that is near to him, that is, for his mother and for his father, and for his son and for his daughter and for his brother and for his sister, a virgin that is nigh unto him, which hath had no husband, for her may he be defiled. So now I'm trying to be defiled for the dead. Okay, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. I'm not really certain what's going on there, or perhaps whether this translation doesn't seem to be getting the point across, whatever it is. Maybe I need to look at it a little more closely. Okay, we're talking about the priests here. That's the difference. That's what I wasn't getting. Speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron. Okay, so the priests weren't to handle the dead, of course. So they weren't supposed to be the, what do you call the people that handle the dead? What do you call those people? I can't even remember what you call them. You know, the guys that take care of the funerals and so forth. Anyway, they weren't supposed to do that, but they could do it for their own kin. So they were allowed to prepare the dead of their kin for burial. And we're going to have to pick up here next time because we just ran out of time. Crosstheborder.org. I've got an email link there. I would like to hear from you.